Blog Talk Radio.
You know what gang violence is, mostly, and the people don't want you to hear this? Somebody shoots your family member. So, of course, you retaliate.
Right,
you know what I mean? Same thing the U.S. does, except nobody even shot their family members. You know, some they see somebody bomb a school and all these people get killed, so the United States feel like, ooh, that's messed up. We got to go show them who's the real killer. This country was built on gangs. You know, I think this country still is run on gangs. Republicans, Democrats, the police department, the FBI, the CIA, those are gangs. You know what I mean? The correctional officers. I had a correctional officer tell me straight up, we the biggest gang in New York State. Straight up.
This is like a revolution
of
premeditated scheme. Introducing drugs all crack to a ghetto team. Got a lot of raw niggas now. Play of what it be like. When will niggas see they got us bleeding with three strikes? Can't seem to focus, hopeless. With violent thoughts, I wrote this. Got the devil petrified. Hot for my heart to focus. And so I learned to earn my currency in overtime. Affiliated, clearly click a military mind. May God forgive us, so we dwell inside of paradise. Thugged out and drug dealers from the womb to the block. My live mind got me surviving five rounds. My 45 got me fortified with live rounds. When shit dick, we block hit. When I drop stick, all hell, I don't bail. Wrath up to chocolate. Forever ghetto necessary, picture food stamps. Outlaw thug niggas never left the food.
We got the real live shit from front to back. To my niggas in the world who block to back.
DJ
Now I was born as a rebel, making trouble for the devil. Take this gangbang shit to a whole nother level. Can you feel me now? Armies in every city, definition of power. Play it, but you let me see the war is the prophecy. Survival is the strategy. Rest in peace to my comrades, that's the seat. Organize the streets in time, the Eddie Devil petrified of a nigga in his right mind. They tell us that we hopeless and hellbound. It's for the brothers and penitentiary jail bam. I got you in my heart till the day I die. Think of the damage we could do if we wasn't high. Can you picture me low? It's the thug rap. Political contracts and bloodbath. From a Tulsa core up in the rockets, though they got you. I never let them stop me. The struggle continues.
Now, if we do want to live a thug life and a gangster life and all of that, okay. So stop being cowards and let's have a revolution. But we don't want to do that. Dudes just want to live a character. They want to be cartoons. But if they really wanted to do something that was that tough, all right, let's start our own country. Let's start a revolution. Let's get out of here. Let's do something.
I'm a soldier for life. The battle I'm fighting has no ending. The struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this, Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Huey Newton's lawyer. And now, Mr. Jackson.
Mr. Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
Waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over!
Mr. Jackson, sorry about your brother.
They will live to regret it. I'll see you today. Get him where it hurts.
Starring Gary Dorden from TV CSI.
This
This is the military, David.
Free your land. Revolutionary greetings. After liberation, our time. My name is Buman Shakir. I'm your host. I'm also a vice chancellor of Georgia University. Georgia University have primary objectives. Our five primary objectives are: one, to eradicate functional illiteracy among new African prisoners; two, to eradicate culture ignorance among new African prisoners; three, to transform the criminal mentality to the new African mentality; four, to assist in the rebuilding and stabilization of the new African community; and five, prepare a new African prisoner for release, reducing new African recidivism. We understand at Georgia University that we might use education to mean to transfer the criminal mentality to a revolution mentality, transfer to a new African mentality, to eradicate that slave mentality, that slave mindset, that nigger mentality, and that colonial mindset, so we can be productive people in our society and community and build our nation. Before I bring on a guest tonight, I'll let go of a couple of events that happened in history during this week. On October the 9th, 1806, mathematician Benjamin Banneker died at Ellicott Mill, Maryland, at the age of 74. In 1969, Morgan State College were opened. In 1962, Uganda became an independent nation. In 1967, Che Guevara executed in Bolivia. In 1971, Sister Kisise Siddiqui was born. Sister Kisise Siddiqui is the daughter of political prisoner Kamal Siddiqui, who was a Black Panther, and she's also a screenwriter, author, poet, and she's currently working on that campaign to free him. On October the 10th, 1935, Forge and Best opened at Alvin Theater on Broadway with Todd Duncan and Annie Brown in the leading roles. In 1961, Otis M. Smith was appointed to Michigan Supreme Court. In 1964, Father Law, formerly known as Clarence 13-8, find the sons of Almighty God of Law, known the five percenters, and officially of the United Nations of Gods on Earth, the NGE. This is also Cuban Independence Day. In 2008 in New York, Jericho had a 10-year anniversary of National March of the United Nations. October the 11th, 1939, NAACP Legal Defense and Education had a separate organization with Thurgood Marshall as director. In 1972, a prison uprising occurred in Washington, D.C. jail. On today, they are October the 12th. In 1864, the 12th through the 13th, Maryland voters adopted a new constitution that prohibited slavery. In 1932, Bobby Dick Gregory was born. Bobby Dick Gregory was an advocate for human rights, health issues. He challenged oppression and status quo. Very outspoken. Brother was critiqued everything. He was an author. He wrote various books. He did various lectures. In 1942, Al Prince and Bunch of Carter were born. Al Prince and Bunch of Carter was one of the founders of the L.A. Black Panther chapter. He gained his education in the California prison system, dealing with a lot of the black prison movement, as well as the Nation of Islam. He also one of the founders of the Sloth and Renegade. He was assassinated in 1969. Okay. In 1945, Jesse James Payne was lynched in Madison County, Florida. That was just 1945. It was still lynching folks. Okay. 1956, Angelo White, a.k.a. O.G. Barefoot Pooka, born. He won the original Crip Finals. He's also a Black Legionnaire and a constitutional African citizen. 1970, the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights said there was a major breakdown in the enforcement of civil rights legislation. On October the 13th, Joe Anderson, a slave, invented the grain harvester, reaper, in 1831. 1915, May Harry Medical College was founded. 1970, Angela Davis was captured. Also on October 13th, in 1938, October 13th, Askew Touré was born. He was one of the founders of the Black Arts Movement, the Steady Movement, an author, a philosopher, and the overall freedom fighter. Also on this date, attorney Rukia Lumumba was born. He's the one mainly responsible for getting our dad, Choka Lumumba, and Mayor and Jackson, also her brother Antar, the movement as well. He's a continuing African citizen, member of the American Red Grab Move, attorney, and so much more. October the 14th, the American Daily newspaper, the New Orleans Tribune, was published in 1864 in English and French. Still exists today as a monthly news magazine. In 1969, the 4th through the 14th to the 18th, a race riot occurred in Springfield, Massachusetts. In 1971, from the 14th through the 23rd, two people were killed in Memphis racial disturbances. Also on this date, Deputy Minister of Information for the British Republic of Africa, Kamasi Amin, was born. Okay, on October the 15th, 1883, U.S. Supreme Court declared Civil Rights Act of 1875 unconstitutional. In 1890, Alabama Penny Saving Bank organized in Birmingham. In 1938, Nigerian Fela Kuti, who was an actor for peace and freedom, a pioneer Afrobeat music, was born. In 1949, William Hastie, nominated for the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. He was the first New African to sit on the court. In 1966, the Black Panther Party of Self-Defense was founded by Dr. Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale. Also on this date, in 1948, former Black Panther and former political prisoner Robert Self Hayes were born. Also in 1968, U.S. Federal Court prohibited use of whips on prisoners. He had whipping prisoners in 68. The whips, you know, that modern-day slavery, especially according to the 13th Amendment. That is some of the events that happened in history during this week. Hold on right quick. Hold on, good people. Hold on, multitasking. Yeah, those are some of the events that happened in history during this week, but it's a lot more. Those are just the ones I touched on. I want to thank everybody who been following our broadcast since 2014. I want to salute everybody in the community who are educating themselves, being active, who are building, who are making constant change socially, politically, culturally, economically, militarily, as well as spiritually, to build a better nation and a better community. You know, I want to salute all the comrades, the political prisoners who are behind enemy lines, who actually been putting in work and doing things. Tonight, a continuation of the show we had last week, where we had New Orleans political prisoner elders, Joker Hashim Jensei, Abdul Lugabai Shakir, also New Orleans political prisoner activist and advocate, Sister McKenna Ayapu, Rafiki Jamil, and Freedom Powell. You know, tonight, all that, welcome to the show tonight. Comrades Abdul and Hashima, current
all right now.
All your lines are open. How y'all comrades doing? Free the land. Resistance, Jumbo.
Can't that won't stop. Gorilla strong. Oh, my God, and Digger.
Yes, sir. And Zero Sign on. Not
yeah.
Wayway. Yes, sir. Strong, man. Pushing forward, man. Good to hear y'all both the voice, man.
Oh, you know, can't that won't stop. You know that?
Yes, sir.
Hey, man. So what we want to do, too, is the continuation, right? Also, because
yes,
the last show, the signal on our end was acting up. It's acting up now, too, right? So I left you a message, Bomani. I left you a message on your messenger.
I got it.
Back up, we're going to call on the other number. But we're going to flow. What I want to briefly do, because I think and I believe this is important, it's an imperative towards facilitating progress within our revolution. I did a brief live this morning because I was receiving many questions about what do I mean by the struggle is an exact science. And I explained in this brief live about the importance of science, and science exists in everything that moves. Science, and I use certain analogy and illustrations to facilitate my point, right? And I use the chess and checker analogy as a contrast. When you play checkers, it is not scientific. That doesn't mean you're not thinking, but it's not scientific. because you do not have to think ahead. Chess requires that you think ahead. Chess requires that you think 5, 6, 7, 8 moves ahead. And when you transfer that to life, 5, 10, 15, 20 years ahead. And one thing I explained is that your checkmate is whatever objective you're trying to achieve. If I'm trying to eradicate hunger, as revolutionaries, we're not trying to placate. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to eradicate hunger, eradicate starvation in our community. We understand passing our grocery bag by itself is not going to accomplish that. Community garden is not going to accomplish that. We have to create a three-pronged process. We have to first acquire our land to develop our own people's farm. We have to then turn our communities to food baskets, meaning that every space in our community should grow some type of fruit. We don't need plants and grass, especially living in an oppressive society. Every space. And those who live in the concrete jungle, there's many different methods in those different areas that you can grow within the project itself, you know, and we will elaborate on that in another live. But what I want to say is that I'm speaking specifically about this science. When you have the oppressor controlling your food source, they can control you. When you rely solely on passing out grocery bags, you're not being independent. You're dependent on the government resources. Because the food that's in that bag belongs to the government. It's their food source. The pantry is there. They're under their complete control. So when we look at the three-pronged process is this. Once we develop our people's farm and we develop our community farm in terms of creating that food basket, the food that goes into the bag belongs to us now. Everything in the bag is controlled by us. Then we open up the people's stores. All the food items in that store control is by us. We control it, own everything. The people do. This is a scientific approach. This is a scientific process. Because these three things combined will eradicate hunger and starvation. It will also relinquish our dependency on our very enemy to feed us. And this is what I mean by a scientific process. If you use science in understanding the grocery bag issue, you understand that that's not going to eradicate hunger. It's like, if I come this week to get a bag of food, I may not make it next week. How long is the food going to last me? How many kids do I have? That in itself must be scientific, meaning I go door to door. And I know this family here got 3 kids. The family down the street got 7 kids. The family across the street only have 1 kid. Their grocery bags should reflect that. It should reflect that. Because you can say, like, if I give this family of 3 enough food for 3-4 days, I'll be back in 3-4 days to feed that family. This is a scientific process because let's say you out there on the corner or at a park or whatever and you're passing out this food. The line may be so long, I may just get off of work. I might not make it that day. Now, here I am now without food again. If the objective is to utilize this temporary fix to end hunger and starvation, then you must develop a systematic process that's going to address that issue, to minimize that. It may not eradicate it, but will minimize the chances of a family going without. Feeding the family for 3 days, then 4 or 5 days they're struggling, shouldn't be our objective. Our objective is to maximize our opportunity to feed them families 7 days a week. That's a scientific approach. A check approach is say, okay, here go a grocery bag, I'm done even thinking about that particular specific family. That's a checker approach. Because that family going to end up without food the next 3, 4, 5 days. What do we do then? If you're not thinking about that family, that's a checker. That's not chess. It's not revolutionary. Our objective is to make sure that each of these families, New African families in our community, have food or access to food 7 days a week. Our plan must complement that objective. Grocery bag, community farming, and acquire our own land. Now, that would take a long objective, a long-term objective in terms of acquiring our land. We can still, like I said, there's 2, 3, 4, 5 acres around the country that we can acquire, you know, but we have to have bigger farms, understandable. But in terms of our short-term goals, we have to look at what we're doing in terms of the grocery bag issue, handing out food, maybe look at the community gardens. Every space in our community should be used to feed our community. We don't have the luxury like these upper class middle-class community. We can grow grass and trees and redwood trees and all the other stuff that serve us no purpose in terms of oxygen. That's it as far as the tree. But in our community, we have dirt everywhere, grass, stuff that cannot benefit us. We can transform those spaces into spaces that will be committed, dedicated towards feeding our people. If we're serious about ending hunger, sometimes we have groups that just want to do something that feel good. Or I passed some grocery bags out last week. I'm good. No, you're not good because the people's not good. If you are a revolutionary, servant of the people, you don't feel good until the people feel good. Simple as that. If I can go home and eat three meals a day, they should be able to go home and eat three meals a day. You know, and we have to make an effort, a committed effort, to ensure that. It's not going to happen overnight, and I understand that. But we have to, in terms of how we apply the science to that particular process. That's why I think it's imperative that we do go door-to-door. On every objective, every goal that we establish, we have to go door-to-door. We have to know who we feed. We have to know who we're trying to assist and help, because they themselves have to make their contribution. It's not just them sitting on their butt. They will be required to play a role in this process. Volunteer your time. Can we utilize your backyard space, your front yard space? It has to be a collective effort. And this is just an example of how the science can be applied from a simple perspective. You have to reevaluate daily, weekly, and monthly the impact you're having on the community. You have to be able to identify your objective. What are your objectives? To placate our people, or is to eradicate the hunger and starvation in our community? What is your objective? When you just throw a grocery bag at the people and walk away, you're not serious. That's for you. That's not for them. It makes you feel good or puts you in a position where I'm doing something. And I understand that. Anything is better than nothing. Don't get me wrong. But what is our objective? As new African revolutionary nationalists, our objective is to eradicate hunger and starvation. And our objectives, our goals, our movement, like AIM and other things we have going, is specifically designed to eradicate hunger and starvation. Every problem that we face in our community, AIM and our movement is specifically designed to eradicate it and to replace the government with the new African government. That's our objective. We cannot rely and depend on our oppressor. But the whole point is many groups do not understand the importance of science within the struggle. You can replace the word science with critical thinking. But critical thinking does not always imply the process of science. And one of the illustrations I used was, say, for example, you look at how they fly to the moon. That didn't happen overnight. That was a theory constantly going through the crucibles, constantly being tested until they got the right ingredients. But it was trial and error. It was a constant process of putting that theory into work. What you see now is a direct manifestation of a scientific process. Now they're able to go to the moon or to space. That same process applies to every aspect of our life. When you have a theory as a revolutionary, it's only a theory. To validate that theory or to negate it, it must go through the crucible. Practice is the one criterion of truth. When you have an idea, so I have a program that is specifically designed to eradicate hunger or specifically designed to eradicate unemployment, you know, whatever the objectives may be, you must continue to evaluate that process. And that program must be a direct manifestation to facilitate and complement your objective. When we use the chess analogy, this is what we're saying. Your checkmate is whatever your objective and goals may be. Maybe the eradication of pig brutality, maybe eradicate functional illiteracy, cultural ignorance, unemployment, maybe the objective of owning all the businesses and homes in our community. Whatever the objective may be, that checkmate represents that. Now, how do we get there? We have to apply the necessary strategies, and the tactics must complement the strategic goal. That is to eradicate functional illiteracy. That is to eradicate hunger and starvation. That is your checkmate. Now, how do you get there? You must have a clear plan of operation. And again, you anticipate it. And this one thing I was trying to explain to people is this. I say, well, say if it don't work. You must understand when you're developing a plan, you have to anticipate the unknown. So whatever goal, objective, or your strategy, it must be flexible enough to adapt to those unknowns. So if we're saying, well, we want to end or eradicate a particular ill that is plaguing our community, our people. And the objective we lay down, it may not cover everything because we have yet to see these unknowns. So let's say you put that in place, but inside of what you put in must have the capacity, the metamorphosis to transform, to adapt to these unknowns. So 2 years from now, we do get slapped in the head. We did not anticipate it, but we have the necessary means to protect and defend and slap back. I'm only using this as a metaphor. So whatever the goal may be, it must, whatever your strategy may be, it must be flexible. That must be planned, and it is inherent and innate within the process itself. You're going to have setbacks. We're going to have these problems because every step of the way, there's going to be contradiction, obstacles placed internal and external. We have those within the community going to try to stop us. We have those in the community going to be a major problem. Same way with the outside. So I'm saying whatever strategy or plan of operation that you lay down, it must possess the ability or the capacity to adapt to those unknowns. So that's part of the struggle. That's why they call it struggle. It's no different when you look at the chess analogy. Your opponent is not going to let you push your bishop or your pawn. They're going to block it. You have to develop a strategy on how to get around this strategy. So if I push my knight out there and you push your knight and your queen and you block my knight or you threaten my knight, I have to develop a strategy to get around that threat. It's constant. It's constant. So it's no different when you look at our objectives on the streets. Wherever our goals may be, there's going to be obstacles, maybe a lack of economics. We have to develop ways to obtain funds that will allow us to finance and fund these programs, these institutions. So every objective we lay down is going to have the obstacle. It's going to have a struggle. It's going to have resistance. But whatever we put in place must have the capacity to adapt, to adjust, and find new solutions to these new problems. That is a scientific approach. When you look around, we have certain groups and organizations doing the same thing that the Panthers did. And they'd be the first to tell you it didn't work for them. So if you're using science as a process, then you'll know that didn't work. So why will I employ a failed objective or method of operation when it didn't work in the 60s and 70s? And the conditions has changed. When we say concrete analysis of the concrete condition, that means we're saying whatever ideas and concepts we have must be a direct manifestation of the conditions that we have that is concrete. Not metaphysics, but concrete, something that you can feel, see, and touch. It's no different when, again, I reiterated this earlier in this morning live, you cannot import an ideology to our situation from China, Russia, Cuba, because those ideologies are based on their individual struggle in their particular country. Maoism didn't come from the African struggle against oppression, against slavery. It came from their people, against their oppressor, against their tyrants. Totally different. That's like taking a circle and trying to force into a square. Many of our brothers and sisters have completely removed science from the process. Why will I take an ingredient that didn't work the first time for the people who created it? How's that going to serve my purpose? Mao didn't work for Mao. Lenin didn't work for Lenin. Marxism didn't work for Marxism. Now, why will I bring that over here when I got proof over here from David Walker, Dean Marvesi, Mark Delaney, Harriet Tubman, Nat Turner, Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X, George Jackson, Assad Shakur, and others? We have the blueprint here, Robert Williams. Why would I go way over there as if they are more qualified than me to liberate my people? And some of them was racist dogs. So why would I, that don't make no sense that we as a people do that dumb ass shit. We have Davy Walker. Then we have brothers and sisters from the late 1800s, early 1900s that developed their own communities, their own towns, own everything in there. That's the blueprint, not 1930 China. The blueprint is right here in our struggle against American oppression, right here. That's scientific because the brothers and sisters and our ancestors showed us the roadmap. We can take that same roadmap and make the necessary adjustment to fit the condition to this day. Because it's based on our historical reality, based on what is concrete to us as a people. We evolved from understanding our understanding in terms of, we used to study the quotation of Mao Zedong. We used to study Marxism and Leninism. But again, we evolve in our thought process once we realize, wait a minute, this is wrong. These isms do not fit the reality of our situation as a people. We do not need to import a foreign ism to address our issues, especially when that ism was not based on our particular situation and problems. That is non-scientific. It sounds good. We can sit there and talk about Marx and Lenin, economics and all that. It should sound good. But show me a model example where Marxism have effectively dissolved the system of imperialism, capitalism, oppression, and poverty. You can't. It failed. And I'm not saying the revolution failed. Those isms failed even in their country. So why will I take that and bring it over here and waste my people's time? Totally dismiss the Davy Walkers and the Martin Delaney's, the Tunis Camels. Totally dismiss the Robert Williams, who have developed a concept and ideal based on our struggle right here in racist America. That's being non-scientific when you have the evidence right here, the proof, the ingredients, the material factors right here. And someone begin to import something from somewhere else, that's not scientific because it wasn't based on our concrete conditions. And look how many groups right now that still advocate Marxism. They ain't made no impact in our community whatsoever. So why would I adapt to something like that? Even the name Marxism is wearing our people off. We have to understand the importance of science and how imperative it is in developing ideology, how imperative it is in facilitating our endeavors to liberate our people and overthrow this fascist-ass system. It must be something that they can relate to. We can speak about Harriet Tubman. We can speak about Nat Turner and David Walker and Martin Delaney and Damar Vest and others, because people can relate to that because it's directly rooted in our historical reality. The answer is right here. It's not in China. It's not in Russia. Russians have problems right now. Why the fuck am I going to use that? When we have answers right here, that unfortunately we have abandoned that because we felt that other people were more qualified to liberate us than our own. But they couldn't even liberate themselves. That's being non-scientific to the process. When you look at our institutions, our blueprints, like AIM, that is a scientific process because it's rooted in a concrete analysis of our concrete conditions right here in racist America. We have what it takes as a people, not just the George Jackson University, not just AIM, but we as a people have it right here before us. And we're not claiming that we have the only answer to the problems. It's like a piece of a puzzle, as I always say. Each of us have a piece to what needs to be done to liberate people, to free ourselves. All these different groups, they have many different positive programs and platform and blueprint for institutions. And if we combine these efforts, we can get the job done because no single group going to do it. No single movement going to do it. We have to figure out how we can combine and create a united front to get the job done. What we're doing here is sharing with the people our approach, our institution, our ideology, our science. But when we speak about science, that is universal. That's a universal truth. Just like when you look at the government, when they abandoned chattel slavery and went into the Industrial Revolution, that was a scientific process. There was no, we feel bad for what we did, so let free the slaves. They did not do that, and the slave was never free. They understood that the global market, they made that transition from chattel slavery to the Industrial Revolution, and the United States was still stuck in the old days. The North, or these so-called union clowns, they didn't give a damn about us. They understood in order for them to move forward and compete on a global market, they had to eradicate chattel slavery. The dummies from the South, so hell nah. We still want this. They don't understand the global market. They don't understand the evolution. There was non-scientific to the approach. The union so-called union was being scientific to the approach because the concrete analysis of the concrete condition required that they abandon this form of slavery and they evolved to psychological slavery. And then the capitalism has evolved. The Industrial Revolution put capitalism on, at a higher level. These are things that we have to understand. Even our enemies has evolved and everything they did. And in the last program, we briefly touched on that when we spoke about how Comrade George said, you can buy this 10 cents bullet and knock down a helicopter. Well, that's no longer applicable because our opposition, our oppressive government has evolved even technically, as we all know. That same helicopter do not exist no more. That same bullet do not exist no more. It has evolved. And that is a scientific process. Putting theory into practice, it went to the crucible. This is the right material to make our helicopters out of. This is the right bullet to make. Everything is science. You cannot get out of that. We have the tendency to take shortcuts, and that's not going to get the job done. We have the tendency to be more about talking in words and then doing. We like to do things for show. Look at me. But it's not about looking at you. It's about serving the needs of our people if you're serious about being a revolutionary. We spend more time talking about the white man, racism, and government than we do in providing the service to our community. And that's another problem. And I know, like I said this morning, I know people get tired of me talking about Hurricane Katrina. But damn, nothing's changed. I'm supposed to dismiss it and sweep it underneath the carpet when even to this day, are people in New Orleans still not prepared for a hurricane? We can never forget that. That should be an example why we shouldn't forget. But yet, I'm not talking about individual family. I'm talking about the community as a whole is not prepared. And we're talking about an area that have hurricane season. It's 99% guarantee, if not 100% guarantee, there's going to be a major hurricane going through that area every year. Tropical storms every year. Floods every year. This takes place every year. But again, this is us being non-scientific to the process. We know this is going to take place every year. It doesn't stop. But our actions indeed still contradict that fact. Why have we as a people and as revolutionaries made little effort to none to prepare our communities in that area or any area? Because each area have different disasters. California earthquakes, wildfires. You know, New York, Chicago got snowstorms. So you organize according to those particular zones. But why have we as a people and as a community and as revolutionaries yet to prepare our people on a collective level? Who do we blame this on? The government? The very government that we always said ain't shit, don't give a damn about us. Who do we blame this on? The white man? The racist? Mars? Pluto? Who do we blame this on? Because we don't look at ourselves in the mirror. Because we don't like self-criticism. We don't like that. Because anytime we make an effort to criticize ourselves or each other, oh, man, you blaming the victim. You're goddamn right. If you're not going to get off your ass, you know what you need to be done, who do we blame? It's no different where me and my comrades are at. We're not going to use this environment as an excuse not to do nothing. We'll never use this as an excuse to sit on our ass and do nothing. Especially when we claim to be New African Revolutionary Nationalist guerrillas. This is just another battlefield we're going to fight on. But what I'm saying is this. Ask yourself, what is stopping you from learning and acquiring the necessary skills to take that back to the community and prepare your community for a national disaster or crisis? What is stopping you from doing that? What is stopping you from acquiring all the necessary information you need to start community gardens? What is stopping you from acquiring all the knowledge when it comes to solar panels, solar energy, to introduce that to our community? What is stopping you? Well, we ain't got the resources. Then find ways to get the resource. I'm not saying it's easy, but make an effort. You can't just sit back and say, well, the reason I ain't done that because I don't know. Then learn. Or the reason why I did it, we ain't got the money. Go get it. There's a solution to every problem. But if you make no effort to seek that solution, then you're going to be stuck. We have no excuse to be in the condition that we're in now, especially with all the resources at our disposal now. And that's what we have to understand. Preparing our community is part of the process that's prepping our community. That's prepping our community. Like I said last show, prepping our community for revolutionary struggle. Preparing them on how to respond to a natural disaster is prepping our community, because that entails many things. You have to develop institutions and programs in our community, first of all. You have to bring them together. You have to acquire the economics, the resources. You also preparing our community. And that's one of the strategies inside of that. You're not just preparing for natural disaster, but you're prepping them. Because now you need certain programs, maybe food, water, power, because that's part of the process. But one thing we were doing is this. Many of our people are not receptive to the revolution itself. Let's remove the word. Let's give them something they can understand. Preparing our community for natural disasters. That is a revolutionary move. We don't need to say revolution. We don't need to say New African Revolution Nationalism. Because now we're addressing the need of all our people. But they're going to see New African Revolution Nationalism at work. They're going to see what prepping the community for future liberation, what it means. Because once you prepare them for that, in order to maintain that, they have to be organized. It has to be structured. Each person have a responsibility and a role to play. Every day, every week, every month, every year. Now we need programs that's going to eradicate this. We need programs and institutions in our community that are going to guarantee that if the house deal gets destroyed due to the natural disaster, that the government going to pay up. All these things will be built up on top of each other. This is just using this as a foundation to build from, because this is something that everybody understands and see. We've seen what happened during Hurricane Katrina. And yet, the majority of our people are still not moved to do the right thing. Now, I'm not just talking about revolution, but brothers and sisters who live in the community. Especially in New Orleans, you have family members who was touched by that. And you still don't feel compelled to do anything. You still rely on the same slave master, the government, who told you to kiss my ass last time. Look what happened when you start kissing his ass. He left you by yourself. Why would you try to kiss his ass or depend on him again? That's on us. We can't blame the government for that. We can't blame the government for our own stupidity. We can't blame the government for our own failure to act in our own best interest. What is stopping you from acquiring the necessary information to prepare your neighbor and yourself for a natural disaster? Remove all the excuses. What is stopping you? You. Well, Abdul, I ain't got the time. If you had the time to sit down and watch a football game for 2-3 hours, a baseball game for 2-3, you mean you, what? You ain't got the time. You sitting in front of a TV or on a computer for 2-3 hours, you play with your phone for 1-2 hours, you mean you tell me you ain't got the time to fight for your liberation? Where's your priority at? Why in the hell I'm going to sit there for 3 hours watching a football game when my people is oppressed and being tortured and murdered? Our women and children being raped, molested. When we got young people is coming to prison at a high rate. I got time. If you put your priority together, you have time. I don't have to watch this goddamn rat-ass football game or the reality show Survivor and all that shit when my people's being oppressed. I understand you have to relax your mind and all that old shit. But oppression don't allow you that luxury. The mother folks got their luxury because they part of the oppressive community. We do not have the luxury. We can't be doing the same thing other people do. Yeah, man, brother asked me, hey, do you watch Survivor? I said, hell no, nah, I'm trying to survive my damn self. We have the community and we have the people trying to survive. We got our own reality show. Why the hell am I going to sit down and watch that crap for 2-3 hours? Because even when I'm not doing nothing, I'm constantly thinking on ways how we can better serve our people, better serve our community, better build our organizations and movements. That's a 24-hour day job every day. Like we say, Black August, 365 days a year. We have to check ourselves in the mirror. We have to, because we can't blame no one else but ourselves. You cannot say, well, the government's doing this, but yet you're not doing nothing to stop them. other than point the finger at the government. You need to get in the mirror and point the finger at yourself. Because that's where it all starts with us. I wouldn't give a damn what the pig is doing. They only do what we allow them to do. I don't give a damn what the government's doing. They only do what we allow them to do. Just like when you got them stores and salons in our community owned by Asians and other people. They disrespect our women. They disrespect our people and children. But they only do what we allow them to do. When I was growing up in the 60s and 70s, I wished like hell when them guys in them stores and salon would say something stupid to a sister. We wish like hell. It'd be a vacant lot. Bottom line, they only do what we allow them to do. We have control over what we do. Not them. You do. Nothing preventing you from coming together with your neighbor unless he's a goddamn coon or a traitor. If he or she's not that, put aside the differences. There was no difference when Malcolm X agreed to work with Martin Luther King. If you don't listen to him, you're going to listen to me. They understood their differences. Even Martin Luther King understood that difference. And if you study that history, Martin Luther King was becoming more to the left, especially during the Vietnam War. He began to evolve more and more. We find all the excuses why we shouldn't work together. But we can't find none of the reasons why we should work together. I'm not going to never use a platform to sit here and talk about the government isn't government. The government kiss my ass because that's not the key to our liberation. The key to our liberation is us, what we have to do, not what they're doing. Because if we do the right thing, we'll stop everything they're doing. It's about us. It's not about them. Now, do we propagate and educate? Yes. Our people need to understand what they're going through. I'm not disputing that. But we spend more time doing that opposed to providing a service. And many of the problems that we face as the people are solvable. In fact, all of them is. And we need to spend more time and solve those problems. All right, Bomani. Bomani. Bomani.
Comrade Bomani, you might be on mute. So, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah? Okay. Rafiki, Ashima gonna come and elaborate on the AIM issue right now, right?
All right. Looking forward to it.
All right. Yeah, John, well, I'm here, man. I had it on mute. I would like to say Freedom on as well. Freedom also is on also.
Okay.
Yeah, he's on also.
Ashima want to speak on something with regards to AIM.
Okay, go ahead. All
right.
Jumbo, Conrad.
Gorilla Love.
G Love.
One of the things I wanted to briefly touch on is what revolution is and why the science of revolution is rational. George defined revolution as a war for the minds of the masses, but what do you mean by that? People's attitudes, the way they think, are a reflection of their social conditions. The social conditions in which our people consistently have lived under over the course of the last 496 years have been dictated by their oppressors. They have been dictated by the same social forces responsible for the chattel slave system, responsible for Jim Crow apartheid, responsible for lynch law, responsible for mass incarceration, responsible for capitalist exploitation. These are the attitudes that have been produced: social apathy, disunity, open warfare against one another, looking upon your brother and sister as your enemy when you are existing under the exact same oppressive social conditions. They have manufactured irrationality in how our people think and view social life. we actually look upon the very system at the root of all of our social ills, at the root of our human misery, and we identify with it. That's irrational. What the Autonomous Infrastructure Mission seeks to do is to change the social conditions under which our people live, and in so doing, change the way our people think. If you look at every initiative, no matter if it's a sustainable agricultural commune, the Youth Community Action Program, whether it's the Secure Communities Mandate, whether it's the New African Math and Science Center Initiative, whether it's the Emergency Response Network, whether it's a Community Safe Zone Initiative, no matter what initiative or the aim you're talking about, whether it's Closed Circuit Economic Initiative, each and every one of those initiatives are dependent on one thing, unity. Our people working together, social cooperation. They were designed that way intentionally. The only way to effectively eradicate a negative social force is with its opposite. We have been orientated to hate one another, to kill one another, to sell poison to one another, to seek to exploit one another for personal gain. We have been orientated to do this in every area of people activity. We are hindmost, the bottom of the ladder, the lowest. That is absolutely irrational for us to continue to support a system which ensures these structures exist in our lives. Revolution is first and foremost rational. It's why it is rooted scientific. Science dictates that if we are dependent on our enemy for every area of social life, we must seek to rid ourselves of that dependence. That is the only way we're going to be free of those negative forces which continue to plague our lives on a day-to-day basis. So how do we do that? We do that by first and foremost identifying what we need most. We need to eat. We need to be able to pay our bills. We need housing. We need clothes. We need education. We need self-defense. These are the things we need. So focusing on these social needs will ensure that what we do on a practical level actually changes the conditions in our community. Positive. Conrad earlier was discussing how we could actually eradicate hunger. He utilized the model that is represented by the Sustainable Agricultural Commune. By transforming every single piece of dirt in your community into a food-producing piece of space, while at the same time pooling our resources so we can purchase our own farms. In connection with Closed Circuit Economic Initiative, we establish our own businesses where we sell our own produce. This interconnectivity, predicated upon each and every individual in that community's participation, produces unity. In order for it to work, you got to work together. Unity is not uniformity. What I mean by that is what we are seeking to produce is a New African revolutionary nation in micro, in every community in the United States of America where our people predominantly live. That means we liberating where your feet is at. We seeking to transform where you live, where you lay your head, where you play, where you work, your home. Your home should be free. If we can do that and we can connect each and every one of those communities into a national network, guess what? You will have a new nation within a nation. But it's no longer a nation that's dancing to the tune of its oppressor. It's a nation that's actually seeking its own interest. It is revolutionary. The Autonomous Infrastructure Mission represents a blueprint to achieve revolution. And what I mean by that is liberated minds, how you view the world, how you view your relationship to the productive system. The problem that we have and we consistently have is we view our relationship to the productive system irrationally. We function under the colonial psychosis, under the mass psychology of fascism. And people ask, what you mean by fascism? The most advanced fascist state in human history is the United States of America. They have succeeded in actually manipulating the vast majority of its populace to identify its interests with their oppressors. The very social forces are responsible for ensuring that your brothers and sisters is out there poisoning each other with dope on the street corner, shooting each other because they got the wrong colors on and got the hat turned the wrong way. That's not us. That's not indigenous to us. Those are learned behaviors. These are attitudes that we have adopted from this sick and decrepit culture. These are attitudes and social perspectives that are only going to be eradicated if we actually implement its opposite. We have to have institutions in our community which celebrate unity. We got to have institutions in our community which celebrate social cooperation. I'm talking about the type of social cooperation to put food on your table. The type of social cooperation that ensures that when our children go out to play, we ain't got to worry about them getting shot by a drive-by. I'm talking about the type of social cooperation where a sister can walk down the street without fear of being assaulted, raped, or kidnapped. I'm talking about the type of social cooperation which ensures everybody in our community got a job, where we work for us, where every business in our community is owned by us, not an individual, by the community itself. This is a new way of thinking. But it's not new. This is the cold rub. The cold rub is it's indigenous to us. When we speak of the new African materialist dialectic, what we're talking about is the historical origins of dialectical materialism, which is the root of socialism. It actually emerged in Africa. The very first historical instances in human civilization of genuine social cooperation and egalitarianism were produced by Africans. When we were kidnapped and dragged to these shores across the diaspora, be it in Europe, America, the Caribbean, or wherever else we landed, these things were stripped from us. But it does not mean that we surrendered our sovereignty. Because they put us in chains and beat us with whips does not mean that we cease being a sovereign nation. We are still a sovereign nation. No, we're not Igbo. We're not Hausa. We're not Minamatopic. We're not that no more. All of Africa was merged within us in the social experience of shadow slavery, and it produced a new African nation, which retains its sovereignty. The problem is the vast majority of us have forgotten this. The vast majority of us linger under the mass psychology of fascism, believing we Americans. Americans have killed Africans as a matter of social policy since 1619. The term African-American oxymoron. They're contradictory terms. So for us not to adopt a plan, a program, social liberation, one wherein we control our own liberation, not no outside force, not no external entity, ain't nobody coming to save us. We are our own liberators. The only person that's going to come free us is us. The only people that's going to defend us is us. The only way we will transform our young brothers from merciless murderers of their own people into servants of their people is if we transform the institutions that exist in our community to reflect that attitude, to reflect those ideas, to celebrate that social behavior. Revolution is rational. It's practical. It makes sense. It's predicated upon the most basic needs of social life. Food, clean water, energy, education, employment, the stuff that we need to live. Give you a prime example of what I'm talking about. Currently in Mississippi, the entire water infrastructure is decimated from decades of neglect. And governmental forces, they really don't give a damn about a city that's predominantly black. The issue becomes, how can we effectively address that contradiction now? One of the primary ways that we can do that is by ensuring that we develop the technologies to address these contradictions when they arise, before they arise. If the state cannot provide our people with clean drinking water, we must do so. And what I mean by we, I mean those who claim to be servants of the people, the New African Revolutionary. There's a technology called atmospheric condensation technology. It's a machine that produces clean, potable water from the air. It was actually engineered and invented by a black man. The vast majority of our people don't even know this technology exists. But let's just take a venture into the theoretical for a moment. What if we had viable New African American Science Center initiatives currently running throughout the South? If we did, not only would we be aware of that technology, only would we be able to engineer that technology, but those brothers and sisters would have those machines in their community right now, and they'd be drinking clean water without having to come out their pocket to go buy bottled water from the store. Understand something. We live in a system where they manufacture crises that they already have the solutions for. They create problems for which there already exists a solution in order to remove you from your money, to remove you from your power, to remove you from your social empowerment. You need to understand the nature and structure of fascism is such that we can't be free under this system. It's impossible. It's not engineered for freedom for us. This system is designed to ensure that we remain hindmost in every area of people activity. This is not by chance or happenstance. This is by design. It's intentional. It's purposeful. Why? Why is that? The system of white supremacy. It is an aspect of the global capitalist construct. And what I mean by the system of white supremacy, I mean those institutions which preclude white genetic annihilation. To make certain that our numbers remain drastically low in societies where they currently dominate that society. Of course, these trends are changing. Of course, there's amalgamation occurring. But what you need to understand is the primary pillars of U.S. capitalism is the race caste system and the economic class system. They need racism for this machination that they've produced to work. They have to have it. It precludes broad class cooperation. So you ain't getting along with you. So long as your community is divided against each other, you can't stand against them. You're fighting yourself. That's what we're doing. We're fighting ourselves. This only continues to be perpetuated because there's no organized counterforce. There's no counterpoint. There's no opposite. We have to be the opposite. It's our job. It's our purpose. It's why we exist. New African Revolutionary Guerrilla is the opposite of fascism. We are genuine liberation. The institutions that we produce are produced the way they are for a reason. Because ultimately, inevitably, we're going to win. Mm-hmm. It might not be in our lifetime. To be honest with you, it ain't going to be in our lifetime. Revolution is something that will occur when the people are genuinely and truly dissatisfied. Right now, people ain't dissatisfied. Oh, it's consciousness of oppression. Of course. Our people know that they hungry. Our people know that they poor. Our people know that they subject to police brutality at any time. Our people know that they subject to violent death or injury by at the hands of their own people. They know that. But that's not consciousness of liberation. Consciousness liberation seeks to act against that outcome, to organize the meager resources that we have in such a fashion that they are magnified. I'll give you an example. Closed circuit economic initiative is one method, one possible blueprint that we can utilize to actually solve five or six problems that currently exist in our community. One of them is underemployment. It can produce 100% employment in the community, where the only people that we hire in the businesses that we actually produce jointly is those in our community that don't got a job. If we continue that cycle every 6 months, pooling our resources, I mean 50 cents, what you go spend for them loose cigarettes at the corner liquor store. Instead of doing that, donate it to the AIM. Get that to the AIM. What you spend on that 40 ounce. What you spend on that pack of zigzags, get that to the end, just for 1 month. For 1 month. Do that for a six-month period. Every month, take your zigzag money for 1 day and give it to the end. $2. In that six-month period in the community of 10,000 people, you're going to have enough money to buy you your own grocery store. Because we have a viable, sustainable agriculture commune, stock our grocery store's fresh produce with stuff that we grow right there in the hood. We ain't got to buy our produce from nobody. It's free. Where you going to shop at? You ain't going to go shop at Winn-Dixie. You ain't going to go shop at Lucky's. You can go shop with yourself. Because that store right there is owned by the community. The only people we're going to employ anymore is people in our community who don't got no job. We do the exact same thing for the next 6 months. The next business we buy is a bakery. Again, the only people we employ in that bakery is people in our community who don't got no job. All the baked goods that we produce in our bakery is going to be carried by our grocery store. So now all the produce and all the baked goods come from us. Not no outsider. Those are our goods. If you continue this trend to a complete economic circuit, you will be circulating every dollar in your community, in businesses that you own, in businesses that employ you, in businesses that pay you a dividend and a check. Continuing to magnify our wealth with ourselves. Guess what's going to happen at the end of that economic circuit? You're going to be self-sufficient. If you continue that thought process to technology, if we have viable new aftermath and science center initiatives established in our community, you don't got to go to Radio Shack to get your phone fixed or your computer fixed or your air conditioner fixed or your car fixed. You take it to the local new aftermath and science center and get it fixed for free. Don't cost you a dime. Keep the money in your pocket. Guess what? Just by working together, we have increased the wealth and social production of an entire community. All of a sudden, looking like we independent. We no longer relying on our oppressor for those most basic necessities of social life. We're relying on ourselves. And we did so solely by working together, by leveraging our unity. The greatest single power that we possess, the one thing that can genuinely free us right now, is the one thing that we will not embrace as a people. Our unity. That has to stop. We have to be the social force that stops it. If you're listening to my voice right now, you have to be the social force that stops it. You can do it right now. So how do we start our AIM, Hashim? You saying this stuff is so easy. No, it ain't easy.
It's the most difficult thing you're going to embark on in your life. And it ain't supposed to be easy. That's why it's called the struggle. But it's also the most rewarding. It's the future of your children and your children's children. There is no greater calling than that of the revolutionary. Everybody ain't going to be no full-blown, flat-out guerrilla. I know that. We all know that. But we need everybody. We need bookbinders. We need people to just make copies. We need people to just pass out flyers one day a week. We need folks to answer a telephone or make a call. We need folks to go dig inside the ground right around the corner from your house at that vacant lot that you pass by every day when you go get your cup of coffee on your way to work. We need you to dig that up. Take your Saturday and do that as opposed to watching that Alabama game. Ain't going to take you but a couple of hours. You can hit that back on YouTube. You ain't going to miss nothing. Your time is the most valuable thing you can spend. And it's free. It don't cost you nothing. Your time. Your time can produce immeasurable wealth for all of us. You can actually demonstrate to that young brother on the street corner who's selling that dope, man, you ain't got to do that no more. You can come work in your own grocery store. You ain't going to be making all that old dope money. But guess what? You ain't going to be hungry. You're going to be able to pay your rent. You're going to be able to pay your bill, and you ain't hurting nobody. Now you ain't got to look over your shoulder. Let's take our young brothers. And I'm talking about our young brothers. Our young brothers are still in high school who, when they looking at this flashy consumer materialism on the TV screen, they believe that is actually success. Well, you got to give them an alternative of what success is. Success is strength. Success is unity. Success is power. So what if we had a viable Operation Hip Hop Rescue in our community? Well, them young brothers ain't got to go stand on the street corner no more and make no money. Hip hop is the one thing all of them got in common. Instead of that, they could be in the studio, exchanging bars, have their stuff play right here on George Jackson University Radio. Next thing you know, they selling their own stuff. They ain't hurt nobody no more. What I'm saying is these solutions are attainable. They're practical. They're rational. That's science. Science is rational. It makes sense. Virtually like math. 2 + 2 = 4 everywhere in the universe. I don't care if you on Mars or you in Southeast San Diego. 2 + 2 = 4. The unity equals strength everywhere in the universe. I don't care if you on the south side of Chicago or you in Atlanta, Georgia. If we together, we're strong. If we divided, we're weak. It's that simple. The AIM provides us a mechanism by which we can unify our people in action, which will actually benefit them materially. This will change their attitude. This will change the way they think. This will produce revolution. When people hear that word, they automatically think of armed struggle. Armed struggle is the most rudimentary, the last stage, the absolute most desperate resort of any revolutionary scheme. The first step, the most practical step, is the cultivation of transfer culture. It's changing the way our people live. We currently live a social life whereby we believe it is rational to get over on one another. We believe that is the outlet by which we will be successful, by exploiting the next man. It ain't never worked for us. In 496 years, it has produced nothing but death. We are socialist people. We are people of love. Revolution, first and foremost, is an act of love. We didn't come together because we hate our oppressor. We came together because we love our people. When you look upon the Autonomous Infrastructure Mission, when you look upon the George Jackson University, when you look upon every aspect of our work product, it is rooted in genuine New African love. Look at your kids. Look at your brother. Look at your sister. Look at your mama, your uncle, your grandma, your homeboys. That's why you need to adopt these blueprints. That's why they need to be implemented in our community with the greatest haste. Because you love your people, man, and you tired of us living this way. How many of y'all got a brother or sister, a cousin, an uncle, a niece, a nephew, a son, a daughter in the penitentiary? Did you know slavery was still legal? 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution states, there should neither be slavery nor involuntary in the United States of America, save you be duly convicted of a crime. That means every convicted felon in the United States of America is a slave. That's why it's 292 professional licenses in the state of California alone that a convicted felon cannot have. Why did I say that? Because once again, this is an area of social life where we are overrepresented. Man, we only constitute 12% of the nation's population, but we 57% of the prison population. That's disproportionate. That means we're being over-policed, over-arrested, over-convicted, over-imprisoned. But why? What's the doorway? The doorway is breaking these folks' law. But why would the people be compelled to break the law if they know full well the result is they're going to be locked up? Social need. The vast majority of the reasons that our brothers and sisters find themselves in the penitentiary is trying to survive. Either trying to survive in the gang culture or trying to survive, period. What we call survival activities. They're selling dope so they can eat. We have to provide an alternative. We shouldn't have to live that way. There ain't no solution gonna come from your oppressor. Ain't nobody coming to save us. We have to save us. This ain't something that we can wait on. This ain't something that we can pass on to the next generation. We can't pass the buck on this shit. This is something that is urgent. We got to do it now. Every second that we are not focused on establishing these blueprints in our community is a second that another brother and sister falls prey to a system designed for them to fall prey to. That's on us. When a revolution fails, it is the fault of the Vanguard Party. It's our fault. You're on George Jackson Radio, you're a revolutionary. It's your fault. It's my fault. We ain't doing enough. If our message ain't being received by the people in such a way where they act on it, it ain't revolutionary. We got to change our life. We got to go back to the drawing board. We got to figure it out. Establishing any initiative of the Autonomous Infrastructure Mission begins with organizing a small group of like-minded people, your homies. Get your homies and your homegirls together and go over the blueprints of the hand. Next step, you got your people ain't going to know that there's a solution to this social ill if you ain't telling them. You got to educate the people. That means you got to go door-to-door with these flyers. You don't just put them in their hand. You give them a brief synopsis. You break it down to them. This is why not only you should be reading this pamphlet, but this is why it's urgent that you participate. Man, you can free yourself. That money you spend at the grocery store, every money you keep that in your pocket. If we had Vibe and Rackham Math and Science Center initiatives, we could put solar panels on everybody's house. Well, they ain't got to be paying the electric company. Nothing. They be buying electricity from us. When I tell you our liberation is in our own hands, I mean that in practical terms. This ain't no pie in the sky thing. Revolution is rational. It's scientific. It's practical. Once you done educated the people, now you got to be educated by the people. You ask them what they need. Every community gonna be different. You got to find out what that particular community needs. Then you're going to have to recruit indigenous leadership. That means brothers and sisters that live right there in that hood. Why is that? Don't nobody, you know, ain't nobody going to trust no outsider with something like this. This is new. Our people have been conditioned against unity. They've been conditioned against social cooperation. You even mention the word socialism, they're going to think you some kind of what they call a commie. Something that they've been brainwashed to believe is wrong, bad, negative. So you're going to have to educate our people on a basic practical level. Man, all we talking about is working together, man, so we can eat. We talking about working together, man, so we ain't got to depend on these folks to put clothes on our kids' back, man. But you're going to have to learn from them brothers and sisters as you go to door what they need. Some brothers and sisters may need access to medication that's cheaper. Some brothers and sisters may need to be able to just walk down the street without fear of being killed. Some brothers and sisters may need their sons or their daughters out of lifestyle they know full well going to lead them to the prison or the graveyard. Some people may just need food. They hungry. They ain't got enough across that month so they can keep something on their plate. Some days they go hungry. These needs are what we organize the people around. We build and prioritize every initiative predicated upon the need of that community. If we utilize this roadmap, if we utilize this blueprint, I guarantee you, the people's attitudes will change. Their minds will change. You will produce a new culture. You will move them away from our adversary and move them toward their own liberation. That's what we mean by transfer culture. It's moving away from one way of life to a new, more progressive, life-sustaining way of life. One that is self-empowering. One that is self-sufficient. One that is self-determined. One that's free. This is within our power to do. All we need is one another. All we need is dialogue and commitment. That is the foundation of unity. We dialogue around those areas we hope to unify, and we commit to doing it. What I mean by commitment is, ain't no more lip service. You don't say you're going to do something and flake out on it. I mean, you say it, and you mean it. You live it. You demonstrate it on a day-to-day basis. Until such time as the objective is met and we go on to the next contradiction, ever evolving until we are all free. We have this power within our own hands. We have just been lied to, misorientated to believe that somehow this enemy is omnipotent, all-powerful, undefeatable, that these social conditions just how it is. That's a bullshit lie. This ain't how it is. It's how they made it. What I'm telling you is we can change that. What revolution is the process of changing that. It's rational. It's practical. It's scientific. I'm going to hand this back to the comrade. Y'all brothers and sisters, continue to build. Guerrilla love.
And I was saying, hey, taking the zigzag from the brothers might start a civil war. the brothers, wait a minute, bro. We support the revolution, but you're talking about taking our blood from us. We may start a civil war there. You know, we may have to take it somewhere else. You know, I just clowned Shima. Well, them brothers, they're fighting for that zigzag paper. Yeah, wait a minute, man. I support a revolution. I support freedom. But damn, this blunt, man. All right, go ahead, buddy. Yeah. Oh, now, hey, now one like one thing like when we okay, example right, the GJU, why that's important. We have a large population of brothers and sisters in prison. We can determine how they parole or graduate. We want them to graduate from the GJU opposed to paroling from prison. They're our responsibility. We need to create a force inside of the prison industrial slave complex that's going to focus on preparing our brothers and sisters for release into the community, where they become asset and productive forces within our community. That's our responsibility. It's not the pigs. The pigs want them to maintain that criminal mindset so they can continue the destruction that is going on in our community. We as a GJU must change that. That was the whole purpose of developing the GJU, so we can change that. Another thing I want to speak on real quick is the Assad Shakur, is the Assad Alert Network. We know that we have the Amber Alert Network. We know for a fact that the Amber Alert was not focusing on our missing children, our women, and our people. We know this for a fact. So we created a Assad Alert Network where we just, all we focus on is our missing women and children and elders, our missing people. And one of the things we've been trying to do, we have a Facebook page and we have a manifesto. We want, again, this is another example. We complain about how little Johnny or little Leroy is missing or Keisha is missing, but yet we do nothing about it. Out of situation, for example, I'll give you another example. I remember years ago, this young girl, she was about 5 years old. Her, about 5, 6 years old, she was out playing with a friend. It was like 8 o'clock. It was her birthday party, too. I think her name was Cupcake. And they was in an apartment complex. And they was out there by themselves. Two kids, 6, 7 years old. The adults inside the house. The outside, and it's dark. One dude passed by. He seen them, but he don't say nothing. He kept on walking. The second person who passed by is one that snatched Cupcake. Next day, they found it in the garbage disposal. Whose fault is that? First of all, they had no perimeter supervision. They never should have been out there in the dark playing by themselves. That first guy that walked by, I hold him accountable as well. Because there's no way it should be a custom or something that is used to seeing two kids out playing with themselves at night. When I was growing up, them two kids, I would have sat there until they got done playing and then take them home, or I would have took them home right then and there. There's no way in hell on this planet I would walk away when I got two babies out there playing by themselves in the dark. This was an avoidable situation. Those parents or guardians should have been accountable for where they were at. That brother who first came out, all that was, those are not my children. What the hell are you talking about? Those are not, they are your children. They're all our children. There's no goddamn way you should have walked by and let them two girls stay out there by themselves. That's why we created the Amber Assault Alert Network in response to a situation like that. And it can be done. We have our babies missing and the Assault Alert Network on our Facebook pages. We post nothing but missing kids, children, our women, and elders. We need more people to be part of that so they can post more and provide information. We are presently involved in making a website as well, right? But we need people that's on Facebook to go there. Also, we have the Emergency Response Network page on Facebook page, and it provides all the information you need to prepare yourself and your community. It's no excuse. Just click on. Like a lot of you guys click on in this nonsense, trivia stuff. You have a page on Facebook that provides you with a step-by-step on how to prepare yourself, information. It also provides our women with non-lethal weapons, and other things they can do to defend themselves. It's right there. All you have to do is click on. That's all I want to say, Bomani.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, that good information. I wanted to let Freedom and Rafiki get in, man. Say some things, man.
Hey,
y'all brother line. Go ahead.
Right.
Yeah, this is Rafiki. Man, there was so much said, and it was definitely said well. I just want to reiterate and put that emphasis on what was said earlier about the struggle being scientific. And, you know, part of that science builds on organized knowledge. you know, knowledge that's been tested and continues to be tested. And as far as us at GJU, CJU has a library. So all those individuals that you were mentioning before, like, you know, Martin Delaney or any other freedom fighters, those individuals, we have books on them. We have information on their thoughts or their writings. GJU has a library. So it's important for people to know that we have those resources there. And it's important that people get educated and then build awareness for that. And also, people who are listening to this platform, we need volunteers. Volunteers who could be educators, volunteers who maybe have their own book collection that they wouldn't mind sharing. And also to understand that for people that, you know, you don't have to come with lots of money. A lot of people think they can't have it. They may not have an impact because of their finances. But the thing is that you may not have finances, but you may have resources that people can use. So, in point, you may not have rent for a building, but you may have space where brothers can study. You know, where somebody could brothers can get together and build. You know, as far as the institutions, getting back and forth institutions, you may not have the gas or something, but there may be somebody else that goes up there on a weekly basis or something. So you do have a benefit that GJU can utilize. And just as Comrade Hashima said, that, you know, we basically need everything. Whatever you can do, we can find ways to utilize that. And if you want to get in contact with us by email, it will be George Jackson University 71@gmail.com. And also one point that came across was that a lot of our people are in these institutions because they're trying to survive. And it's the truth. George Jackson mentioned, I believe it was in Soledad, brother, but he was speaking particularly on the prison system that a lot of our people, and that people can be abused and they are brutalized by their environment. So that same case also comes from the outside. Lately, I've been seeing on TV a whole lot of cases where, you know, they're focusing on one individual and say, okay, this person came from the military, they had PTSD, and they put a lot of focus on that. But you never see that when it comes to our kids. You never see that when it comes to our people.
Mm-hmm.
That's you. You know, they're suffering for that same PTSD. You do not need to go to Afghanistan to get that. You know, so, you know, there's a lot that's involved. We encourage everyone to get involved in the struggle. And it's important for us as a baseline, anyone that's New African, it really needs to focus on education. There's a baseline there, and the GJU has that. So please get involved.
True indeed. You got Freedom, you got anything that you want to share?
Peace. I was just apologizing for being coming on late. You know, I got shuffled around in the old airport shuffle in lower class, you know, couldn't afford a seat when they couldn't shuffle me around, so. But what I did catch and what I heard after getting on the call was, I mean, I heard all strength, you know, all good, solid breakdowns and analysis and wisdom, actually, because that's what I think to use wisdom in this day and time is going to be critical. God is going to be critical. We are not yet competitive in terms of the scientific analysis of what climate we're in terms of the technology. I get it. I get it. We're on Facebook and Twitter and TikTok or Instagram and things like that. We don't have the maybe as of yet we don't have the ability to push these programs a little harder through the technology. So, and always not losing sight of the on the ground, boots on the ground, door to door, pushing other programs face to face, which was interesting for me last night because I was in a serious heated dialogue and battle. I shared the program, this is Brother Prophecy, and then do a conversation with comrades. Now, and I was about to do Abdul's conversation come across my feed. It was kind of low volume, and I was in a noisy little group of young prophets, or what you want to call them. I don't know what you call them, gods or prophets. But the point here is to be competitive in terms of spreading the aim and the GJU and to put these programs in the community when you're face-to-face. Well, at least in my experience so far, face-to-face, there's plenty of opportunity. But it is a hell of a battle. It is a hell of a battle just to get your get the programs into the ears of these young brothers. They're traumatized. I mean, I got two actual blood brothers wanting to kill each other. And then moms are dying and so forth and so on. But they going at each other wanting to kill each other and got the means to do so. But fortunately for, and probably some of y'all can take credit for it, because to keep me sane, you know, I was able to bring that under control. Just being a revolutionary does help in terms of many situations in the community. But you have the awareness to know that they're acting out of trauma, emotionalism, extreme emotionalism, and past experiences that they were dogged out about. And so you have that wisdom and that ability to intervene. So that's when I say that. But I'm working. I'm hoping, and in the coming meetings, that we can push our competitiveness, and as we also stay on the ground, boots on the ground, using our wisdom and even our age. I think that's part of it too. Just being a little older, once you pass the brick of the breach of 40 and 50, you get to the point where you know, you pretty much know how to try to step out and step into things when with wisdom. I should say it like that. So. Yeah, everything was cool. I appreciate the fact that I caught some of the program, and I apologize for letting these crackers shuffle me around like that. I should have been home 4 hours ago. That's all I'd like to say right now. I'm a little frustrated, but that's all.
I want to briefly say this here, right? First of all, hey, Freedom, you don't have to apologize. You know, you're here. There are circumstances outside your control you had to address and deal with your family. So that's not an issue there, right? The struggle is a difficult process, and it represents how deeply we as a people have been affected. We have a hard road ahead of us. It's not easy. Sometimes it's discouraging, especially from where we at. There's only so much we can do. And a lot of my stress came from that. You know, especially when we was in solitary confinement, I had so much going on in my head, I couldn't find a way to get it out because I was banned from communicating with the streets. So it's hard for me to contain this because I really wanted to get it out, but they banned me, right? One thing I learned is that this is the struggle. We're going to run into these difficulties, and they're hard. But as New African Revolutionary Nationalists, we have to find ways to overcome it. It's not going to be easy. Sometimes it takes years to overcome this. We understand this. We have to also find internal tools on how to cope with these crises, personal or otherwise. It's hard again, but that's why we are who we are. We can endure the burden that most can't. That's why we're tested. We're going to be successful. As New African Revolutionary Nationalist Guerrillas, we have to be optimistic in all that we do. In spite of what we go through, in spite of what we've been through, in spite of what we're going through right now, that's part of the struggle. We humans before we anything else. That's part of the struggle. I have no doubt that we will be successful. I may not be here to see it, but I have confidence in my comrades, have confidence in our people, have confidence in our revolution that we're going to be successful. There's nothing showing me that we're not going to be successful. It's hard. As long as we continue to do the work, we're going to get the job done. We're going to only do so much in our time. We have to understand that. There's only so much we can do as long as we do our part. Like the Comrade Freedom was saying, reaching a lot of the brothers on the streets is a difficult process, a process that we've been trying to break through for decades. It's hard. No question asked. Sometimes it becomes discouraging because you can say the most obvious things and they look at you like you lost your damn mind. And you like, it's unbelievable because you say, man, you know what you're doing is only perpetuating internal genocide. You know that, right? Oh, man, shit, man. What the fuck you talking about, nigga? I say, damn. But you have to understand that mindset. You have to find the language that they will understand. You have to continue to try to convince them what they're doing is self-destructive. That's why we are who we are. If we were reactionaries and non-revolutionaries, we wouldn't have to put up with that. But we assume the responsibility of transforming our people from a criminal mentality to a revolution mentality. Transform our people from a Negro to a new African soldier, a new African citizen. That's our job. No one made us what we are. We freely, willingly took that oath, which entails the transformation of the mindset of our people, fighting this war of menicide, breaking the chains of psychological slavery. No one says it's going to be easy, and it's not. But if anyone can do it, we can do it. You know, I have no doubt that we can do it. We'll get it done or die trying.
Yes, sir. You know, what I want to say about that, I'm listening to all this conversation.
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay. Well, what I was saying, I've been listening to the whole conversation. And the main thing that touches me is that all of this stems from education. You know, we're in the aspect that we were listening to what Conrad George said, trying from the criminal mentality to the revolution mentality, right? We know that's a process. That's a process that goes through a protracted struggle, you know. And it process entails the foundation being educating yourself, right? Education being the process of it. We know a lot of brothers and sisters can't read or write when they start their particular journey. Now these brothers have developed the scholars. They developed the theoretician. They developed the social science. They developed ideas, concepts to change the social ears of the people, you know. And when I think about all this stuff and I look at the dialectics of our history, the materialism of our history, I look at everything, the only resolution that we have is to be independent. It's to be independent and control our own resources. Be the individual that control and operate our communities. And being able to protect that community at all the same time. And what we've been doing in our territory for virtually over a decade now, but up on this organization now, the PPI, have been doing it since 2015, we had a particular vision. Our vision was, you know what I'm saying, some of the work that Conrad Joe was talking about, Malcolm X and many others, America Cabral, Liberating the Zones, and many others, right? So we applied all these sciences. We applied all these signs, all these ideologies, and all these concepts into the aspect of liberation and put theory to practice through trial and error. We tried certain things didn't work. We kept on pushing, being motivated, kept on doing things until we got certain things right. And now we're working on having our own community. You know, we're working on owning everything in our community. We're working on we got an institution now that we're pushing programs out of the institution, working on reaching the people, working on having our own grocery store, our own agriculture, being in contact with the farmers and other aspects, right? You know, it's all about doing the work, you know, regardless of what anybody say. You take an oath or something, that's what you obligate to it. That's what it's done. You know, it's word is your bond or your life, you know. It's a commitment. You know, and I just want to say that particular aspect of things, you know, in regards to all that stemmed from one's commitment. And every so often that I know is a reality, our brother and sister had to reconfirm his or her commitment. Why their commitment? Why they committed? Why they still committed? What their commitment look like now? And are they still going to be committed to doing what they're doing? If not, you know what I'm saying, take your place. You know, right? That's all I wanted to say, right? And go out to the ass for a second, man.
Let me quickly say this here. I think everybody is listening, especially comrades. What Bomani Nim is doing in the state of Georgia should be a model example, because the center is addressing every aspect of what the aim is about, and they're actually doing it. They're not just talking; they're doing it. You name the area, the firm of ownership, emergency response network, security in terms of teaching our community how to defend themselves, how to use properly weapons, how to own their own homes, the Department of Agriculture, you name the area. The center is providing that service in this building. And that's why I'm saying what the comrades are doing is a model example of what should be established by other comrades in their jurisdiction. And reminding them tend to what they're going to do, they're going to do a future show again. I think everybody need to be at their show on George Jackson Radio of everything they are doing. You know, because I think it's important for people to understand that you can develop a solution to the problems. The center is just another example of that. How you?
Yes, sir. We think about doing that show next week. We've been talking about doing it next week. That we've been talking about discussing.
Okay.
You know, it's always good to make connections with people. It's always good to do the work, you know. That base our motto, just do the work, you know. The thing I don't realize all my years is that the best thing to do in regard to relationship is work with the people you can work with. Don't think about
exactly.
People you can't work with, because they're wasting time. People you can work with, work
exactly.
With them people and move forward, you know. And it's a what we realized that we had to select, we had to select cadre at the early premise of our development. We got to find out who's cadre, select their strength, their talent, their skills, and assess those things and put them in certain positions so they can prosper, so they can grow, you know, so we can develop
Yes. Constant
standard for the people. Because our people are like this, you know, they understand what their oppressor says. But they know that they feel like they're oppressed where the oppressor has go, because they've been conditioned to program psychologically to think that. So when we orientate them through a re-acclimatization process, we got to get them so they can touch, taste, feel, and smell. You know what I'm saying? That's scientific. They can be proven. They know they come to this center, they're going to see this. They know they come to the center, they're going to gain this. They know they come to their program, they're going to get this, you know, so they can taste, touch, and smell and see. You know, we got to show and prove to them. They hear the rhetoric. They don't care anything about that. You know what I'm saying? They hear about the philosophy and all that. You know, it sounds good to them, but they want things that the media help them in food, clothing, and shelter aspects. You know what I'm saying? Water.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Water needs and clothing. You know, being there to defend themselves, being there to protect, mass incarceration, legal need, legal help assistance. You know, they want something that they can assist them for real in the day-to-day plight in life.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's just... Man, it's really serious, I am, man. You know, we've been at war. We've been at war since 1619. Been at war. We brought up a human chattel property, a human chattel slave. You know, the biggest form of capital in the world is the human capital. That means that we had the power to change all conditions. You know, capitalism is founded upon human. If you go to any business, any corporation, at the bottom of it, going to be the human capital. Then above it, going to be the business capital. Then above it, going to be intellectual capital. The business capital, the people that attain leadership, supervisor, manager, so forth and so on, where the intellectual capital, the people who own the corporation or business. That's a whole system. We the greatest resource. Being humans, humans the greatest resource leader. Everything that industrialize or build or manufacture comes from the mind and the work of the humans. So we got to know that we the greatest resource. That's why the business government is a people government. The people that high form the government. The people voice. You know? That's a reality.
Yes.
That's something we got to look at in regard to our own unification, to notice, to realize it, and to act upon it, and just make some change. That's all it takes, you know what I'm saying, the commitment, the willingness to do certain things, started doing it.
Exactly. And it's not going to always be all the people. It's always going to be, like they said, many are called, but few will be chosen. We'll always be that. It has always been that. So... the quality is what matters, not the quantity. It's the quality of your cadre. It's the quality of your organization. quantity don't mean nothing. You can have 1,000 numbnuts in one organization, and they're not going to accomplish nothing but numbnutism. You can have 5 people in your cadre and accomplish a whole lot. So we have to start looking at quality and not quantity. And the GJU and the things that we're doing, we focus on quality of the individual and that individual input, not quantity. Because if you really look at it, the oppressor and the global oppressor is the minority. But yet they have a quality cadre that is in charge of everything. They have individual, skilled individual, white supremacists, fascists. Don't have to be white. They got some coons on that level that assist them. But they're qualified in what they do. If they wasn't, they wouldn't be where they're at right now.
You know, by you saying that, it lets us know that they're the supreme propagandists, and we find a propagation war. The more we propagate things from our particular narrative, the more people going to get involved, the more people going to know about it, and the more that particular thought within the mind of people or set of determination is going to develop and inspire, and we start seeing more change. You know, like right now we're using the opportunity to propagate. To propagate things from our particular narrative, from a new African narrative. And every opportunity we get, we got to propagate. Everybody who's a country, you African, you got to propagate to any and everybody they see, no matter what the time is, no matter what the situation is, right? You know, because that's how propagation goes for inches. The Jehovah's Witness, they propagate. They don't matter who you are. They're going to knock in your door. They propagate.
Man.
You know, they're going to propagate. Man. You know, they're going to come to your door. They're going to see what's up. You know, they don't care what you say you is. They don't care about it. They're going to propagate it. And that's how it's going to be.
You got to knock
them up.
Get your hands off
my porch.
Yeah. Can't stop, won't stop. They serious.
Yeah.
That's why you got to get some dogs and put them in the front yard. Get your ass away from my address.
But
I know what you're saying, my man.
They might drop a pamphlet in their dog mouth.
It runs, you know.
Dog might have a pamphlet in their mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, but they committed because they'll bug the hell out you if you listen to them or not. But that's similar to what we have to do. We have to dog it, man. I mean, every day they should hear, feel, and see us, you know. And all you have to do is look at our Facebook. That's why me and Shima do what we do. We constantly stay on Facebook with our stuff, our visual, additional art, as well as our posts. As well as promoting the GJU, we're constantly doing this every day, all day. We're going to stay on there. And even when we no longer have access, we already have people in line to continue to post and present these things. So we understand the importance of the people seeing it, constantly seeing it.
Yes, sir. Got to make a new nation a reality.
Yeah, that's the piece I wanted to dig in on. I think that's critical to the whole process. You know, if you the consistency that you and Shima keep pushing, because I see it coming across the timeline, I don't have to go look for it. A lot of times it's going to come through, or I'm going to be tagged somewhere. And I think that's the point I was bringing out, you know, because it's what our people are doing. I know.
Parcel, freedom.
Yes,
we got 5 minutes left, man. So I'm just letting y'all know we got 5 minutes left for the show. And go ahead, though. We got 5 minutes left.
Oh, I'm good.
Okay.
Freedom going to end this. I'm good.
Go ahead, Conrad.
Real quick, then. This is where I was saying we want to be competitive. We want to be competitive, and I think we're at the point where I think some of the stuff needs to be on TikTok. I'm not sure. But the young folks is on there. But I know Instagram, Twitter, we could pick up a pace on there. And what I'm saying with that is at some point, we could, throughout the year, Black Officers 365, we could establish points or programs and even invite some young folk, or even if young folk we have connected with already, and just get them on. Because that's where everybody's going. That's the point I mean by competitive, you know, with the technology.
Yeah.
So, yes, sir.
Exactly.
True. True indeed. True. And my sentiment that, man, because this is a different type of struggle that we're facing. Like Baba Adu was saying, you know, we're not Marxists, we're not Myers, we're not Leninists, we're not in Cuba, we're not in an unneed place, and what the social, political, and geopolitical condition were different. You know, well, we're in what we term America, where we fight for new African independence. We fight for independence in general. So our conditions are different, especially in regard to the technology that we're facing right now. So we're going to have to be able to utilize the technological sources as a way to propagate and inform and educate people so they can understand the education for liberation and actually put it into their mind through a trial and error aspect, and also through an aspect of orientation and indoctrination, so they can know what's going on, you know. And basically, you know what I'm saying, getting in the receipt that they got to fly all this stuff offline. Online is not going to do anything. You know, they get more of a theoretical standpoint or philosophical or some want to say as a feel-good situation, you know. Because we got to look at a lot of these social media platforms based on asylums, man. You know, they're based on asylums of mental health patients, you know. Even though mental health affects us all, either good or bad, but it's how you maintain your psychosis that we all have. All of our psychosis and neurosis are individuals.
Exactly.
That's a human trait, you know. But it's how you maintain control that and how you prepare a thing to do something. You that all everything your skill for a better need for our people to build this nation that we've been talking about.
Exactly.
Because it's something in here. It's not natural within us. It's natural for us to be independent. You know what I'm saying? Natural to be free. You know what I'm saying? Go back to all our civilization. No matter you go back to the ancient Kenya, ancient Ghana, the Aksum dynasty, Congo, Kemet, wherever you come from. They all knew and understood that they had to be outside of nature, that they were people and they were communal people. They understood it, period, you know.
And when you say about as far as mental issues, right, I spent almost 33 years in isolation. Believe me, it's a struggle every day to maintain my discipline, maintain my sanity. You don't come out of solitary confinement after all those decades and be all right. It's a struggle. I've been able to discipline myself and maintain my sanity, but it's a constant struggle. So you top that with the condition we live in as a people, oppressed. We got some issues, but we have what it takes to endure and discipline ourselves and move forward. But that don't exclude the fact that we do have issues. You know, like the comrade was saying, post-traumatic stress disorder. We all have that, you know, but we have been able to endure that and move forward.
Yes, sir. You know. Again, I just want to thank everybody for coming on their platform, saying I understand it, man. You know, and I'm just gonna say, long little resistance, long little gorilla, man. Keep pushing forward, man. Ain't start one strong.
Long live the grateful gorilla.
Yes, sir, man. Yes, sir. Free the land. Yes, sir.
Real love.
Yes, sir. Real love. Yes, sir.